3. Those watching by webcast, we are so glad you're with us today, and we hope that you are blessed by what you hear this morning. 1 John chapter 3. I do not want to talk about the fact of the resurrection this morning. I think that most of us understand it is a fact. But I want to help you to understand, if you don't already understand, the meaning of the resurrection. What did it mean? When the apostles started preaching immediately after the resurrection, the ascension of Christ, they went out, they fanned abroad the cities, and all they preached was, "He is risen." The resurrection is because that's all they knew. And it's a right message, and it must be preached. But when the apostle Paul was raised up, he began to color in with Pauline theology all the empty spots to tell us not only what happened, but why it happened and what it means. 1 John chapter 3, just reading verse 8 alone, it says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your presence in this place. Nothing can be done here except your Holy Spirit move amongst us. Except your power, Lord, be extended to the hearts and the lives of the people. And except you animate me that I might proclaim your truth, that I might say it with clarity, that every ear will understand what is being said this morning. Father, we ask you for your help, your continued presence. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you. Amen and amen. He that committeth sin is of the devil. How many already knew that? Amen. What that means is all of us is in trouble. That's what it means. Me, you, all of us. None of us are sinless. We are in trouble. He that sinneth is of the devil, because the devil sinneth from the beginning. John is alluding to the fact that Satan came into the garden. In the beginning of the history of man, he swept into the garden. He timed it with perfect accuracy. He came in just after the creation and right before procreation. Most scholars think there was a 40-day period, possibly as long as 40 days, before Adam and Eve fell. That's 40 is the number of probation. But it occurs to me it would not have taken that long, because Adam was the only man on the planet. He had a perfect mind and a perfect body. Eve was the only woman. She had a perfect mind and a perfect body. And God told them, "I need you to multiply and replenish the earth." I'm thinking Satan would have had to come in within just a few days before Eve could have her first baby, so that he could do his treacherous work in the garden. The devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, this is the reason that Jesus came to this world. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, so that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, many of us may not be aware, we came into this world and everything was already fouled up. We never saw Eden. We don't know what Eden was like. All we know is fallen creation, these fallen bodies, our fallen minds. We've lived in somewhat a state of death all of our lives, and in the very realm of death. All because Satan has slipped into the garden and he deceived the woman, who seduced the man, who caused the whole of the human race to fall into sin. God spoke through Ezekiel. He was speaking directly to the king of Tyre, but indirectly he was speaking to Satan. And he says in Ezekiel 28 and 12, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus." And again, by double reference, he's also referring directly to Satan. "And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." And what he is saying is that through your treachery, through your deceit, through the great wisdom that the fallen angel, previously named Lucifer, had, he was able to seal up the entirety of the human race in one act. Again, between creation and procreation. He had to time it perfectly. Thou hast been in Eden, the scripture says, the garden of God. He watched as God created the man. He watched the whole creation effort. He saw that God was creating the man. He saw that procreation was given to the human race, not to the angelic host, to the human race. And he realized, I have to time this perfectly before Adam and Eve can come together. I have to slip in and I have to cause a fall. And in doing so, he sealed up the whole world. He got all of us. When you were born in sin. You were shaping in iniquity just like I was. How many can just admit this morning, I got some stuff going on the inside that's not completely right. And I can't help, if I could be right, I would be right, but something's broke on the inside. Paul said, whereof as by one man, sin entered into the world. Through the original Adam, sin came in because he transgressed God's commandment, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But when sin crept in, death came right in behind it. That's why everybody in this room, if Jesus don't come back, you're going to die just like I am. I've been watching Louis Gossett Jr. recently died. And great actor. I hope he was right with God. I looked at his birth date. They just had another actor that died a few days ago that's from that age. I looked at his birth date and I realized these birth dates are getting closer to my birth date. Listen, death is a reality for all of us. Every last one of us, we just as sure as we have a sin nature that bends us in the wrong direction, we are also subject to death. It slipped in when Adam sinned and sin came in. Death came in with sin. And the scripture goes on to say, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When you begin reading the Bible in Genesis, you look at the first 9 generations of the human race. And there are 3 words at the end of everyone's life. It tells us that Adam lived 930 years and he died. His son Seth, he lived 912 years and he died. Enos, 905 years, and he died. And the first 9 generations are listed that way in Genesis, but those 3 words are the end of every one of our lives. And he died, and she died. It doesn't matter what you do for a living, how much money you have, what you drive, how wonderful your family is when it's all said and done, and you die. We're bound by death. No matter how much you brush your teeth, decay begins to get into them. Your body was decaying long before you went to the grave. Knees were creaking, elbows popping. Have you ever noticed? I watched my 3-year-old granddaughter. She moves effortlessly for hours. I do my best to keep up with her. But after a while, it's just like, hey, grandpa's just tired. But I realize that the energy and the movement that she has, that's what God wanted for us all of our lives. 900 years these men lived, and we die in 70, 80, 90. Our lives, we just wink out. We're here for a moment, and then we're gone. God watched this happen for 4,000 years. Man laboring under sin and death. And one day, about 2,000 years ago, he stood up from his throne. He took off his royal diadem and his robes of glory and majesty. And he stepped down into Bethlehem and put on human flesh. And he lived amongst us for 33 and a half years. And all of that time, what he did is he showed us the heart of God. Many of us, we don't see it, we don't grasp it. We try to make this Bible into a rule book. It's not a rule book, it's a love letter. Well, God is trying to show us his heart. He's trying to show us his kindness. There was one time that Jesus was walking. He's just walking along. He's not trying to do anything. He's just walking along. And right in front of him comes a funeral. It was a young boy that died. His mother, it was her only son. And in those days when you lost the only man in the house, the hardships that came upon that woman were significant. Women couldn't work in society other than maybe being a prostitute or a housekeeper. And if you were older, nobody wanted you. That means your life became very difficult. And this woman's only son had died. And let's just read it in the scripture. It says in Luke 7:12, it says, "Now, when Jesus came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion upon her." Now stop right there. Here's what you need to notice. He's just walking by. He wasn't planning to intervene in a funeral. And the funeral, he sees what's happening as she's crying for her only son. And it says, "And he had compassion on her. And he said unto her, weep not." She hadn't asked him for nothing. She had not even addressed that he was there. It was God's heart that he wanted to help her without her asking a single thing. Without her saying anything. His heart was to help her. He had compassion upon her and said, "Weep not." And he came and he touched the bier. He touched the coffin. In other words, when he's talking to her, the funeral is still moving. And he tells her, don't cry. You don't have to cry. And then he just touched the coffin. And everything stopped. That's power. And here's power right here. And he said to the young man, "I say unto thee, arise." Just spoke a word. He's dead, doornail dead. And Jesus just says, "Arise." And he that was dead and began to sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Now that shows you what God's heart is. He didn't ask this woman her name. Did she believe on him? He didn't ask her nothing. He just did good for her. That's your father. If you're a born-again Christian today, that is the heart of your father. He has good things. He has good thoughts for you. Now, when Jesus, after walking this planet for 33 and a half years, the Bible says in his public ministry, he went about doing good and delivering all those that was oppressed by the devil. That's all he did. He had 5,000 folks feeding him. And again, the Bible said he had compassion on them. They didn't ask him for nothing. He said, "Just open the windows of heaven, Father, and rain down manna on these folks because they're hungry." And he fed 5,000 of them, 2 loaves and 5 little fish. That's the heart of God towards you. But when he was walking in his public ministry, the Pharisees, Satan had been trying to kill him since before his birth. And at one point, he stood up to the Pharisees who were being animated by the same fallen angel who caused Adam to fall in the garden. And Jesus warned the devil. He said, "You destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up." And they said, "This it took years to build this temple. You're going to raise it in 3 days?" And Jesus said, and the scripture says, but he spoke this concerning his body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He wasn't just talking about his physical body. He was talking about his corporate body, the church. That if they destroy this temple, he's going to raise all of us up. Which, if you are born again, if you are under the blood of Jesus Christ, it means you were baptized into his death. You were buried with him behind that cave. And on the third day, you are resurrected in the newness of life. Hallelujah. You've been resurrected with Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I used to be a drug addict. Bound, addicted to drugs. If it wasn't crack cocaine, it was marijuana. And all you reefer smokers, it leads you down the highway straight to hell. You better let it go while it's light, because it gets more difficult as you go. So bound by crack cocaine, I couldn't have $3 in my pocket. I'd go get a nickel on short. But today I'm absolutely free. Hallelujah. Whom the Son has made free is free indeed. Why? Why am I free today? Because the power of His resurrection has gripped my life, and He's holding me steadfast in His holiness. His resurrection has far. If you're born again, the reason you don't go back, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is holding you. He didn't just raise you up. He suspended you at where you are. Hallelujah. He said, He told the devil, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'm going to show out. So the devil killed him. And they put him behind a stone. When I was a little boy, I don't know, first grade or something, we had a project we did where we had to save our milk carton, put some dirt in it. The teacher gave us 3 little seeds. How many had to do that? We put our 3 little seeds in there and put water on it. And you know, you come back the next day, oh, what do we got? It's just dirt. There was nothing there. And you come back the second day, it's just dirt. But on the third day, you see a little bit of green just peeking out of there. Well, on the third day after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus got up, but that's just the first little sheaf of the resurrection. That's just the first little part. He said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ, thank God for what happened 2,000 years ago that He got up. But the greater resurrection is that all of us that are born again got up with Him and are being suspended in holiness with Him. Hallelujah. And there's another resurrection coming. The first one separated me from the practice of sin. The second one separates us from the very presence of sin. Hallelujah. He's going to give me a brand new body. See, I don't know why the folks with gray hair ain't clapping harder. I know. Man, I know I need a brand new body. Man, I'm laboring every day to keep this one working. But He got a brand new one. I was just thinking about this the other day when I was 18, 17 in there. I used to run. I didn't even calculate how far. I just ran. Was it 2 miles, 5 miles, 6 miles? I don't know. Didn't care. I'm running because I like it. I want that kind of body back. Yeah, I want that kind back. And that's what He's got for every one of us in the resurrection of life. He told us there is a resurrection unto damnation, and there is a resurrection unto life. Now, Jesus warned us. Now, the thief, the one that did his treacherous work in the garden, Jesus warned us, the thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Amen. He said, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. See, that's the heart of God. He wants us to have abundant, eternal, everlasting life. Not a life you go until 70 years and you keel over dead and then you start a new life again. No, no, no. This life that we have now, it walks straight through death. Praise God. If you've been resurrected with Jesus Christ, you can do like I do. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But Jesus Christ has paid the sin debt, eliminating sin, and by grace He separated us from the law. All we do is walk in relationship with Him. It's like me and my wife when she likes to walk in the malls. And she always says, let me hold your hand. I want to hold your hand. okay, we'll just hold hands and just walk in the mall. That's relationship. So usually we come to church, she'll look in my closet, see what color you wearing. Oh, let me go get that color. Just, we're in relationship. She woke up this morning, put on a different color. Because it's Easter Sunday. She said, when I come by, I'm get a smooch and a kiss from you. I said, no, my wife dresses the same way I dress. You got on a different color this morning. See, relationship is fun. And when you walk with Jesus Christ, you're not walking trying to keep rules that's in a rule book. You're walking in a living, loving relationship with the King. That's what the resurrection has provided for you and I. Now, it means it requires a total renewing of the mind. The day you get saved is good. 30 years later is better. Because your mind has to be renewed. See, you have been, by the power of the resurrection, you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. You have been translated from rules and regulations and law and effort and performance into nothing but grace. And it takes a while for us. It doesn't mean that you can just go out and sin. The Bible says where there is no law, there is no sin. I just live to make my Father happy. I don't care what the Ten Commandments say. Lord, I'm living for you, whatever you want. And quite frankly, what He wants is a lot deeper than what the Ten Commandments gave you. The Ten Commandments say don't have sex with that woman. Don't commit adultery. But God, the Father, walking outside, He said, well, don't even look at it like that. Yeah. All right, don't even look at him like that. I got to make sure I'm being balanced here. And so walking in relationship with Him, but when you stumble and you fall and you make a mistake, the law, all the power the law had was to condemn you. You're guilty. You broke the law, and now I have to extract a punishment. The wages of sin is death. The law's only got one punishment. Eternal death. But when you mess up and stumble with God, it's grace. There was a story Jesus told of a man that had two sons. And the younger of the two sons, give me my inheritance. And the father, he gave both of the sons their inheritance. And the young son, he went out and he made a lot of mistakes, a lot of them. He started partying, going to raves, going to the club. Hey man, smoking weed. Yeah, he's doing all that. Illicit sex, but only with the pretty ones. And after a while, he found out all his money was gone. And all the pretty ones left him. In a heartbeat. No more weed. Just an addiction that can't be satisfied. And he found out he didn't even have enough money to eat. He was used to putting it on, taking all of his friends. Like Fat Joe, he was used to spending $30,000 and all of his friends feed him all. But now he couldn't even feed himself. So he had to attach himself to a citizen of that country. And the citizen didn't care anything about him. He said, go feed my pigs, man. And he didn't even pay him enough to eat. And the Bible said he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And in the middle of that situation, I'm explaining grace, because all of us have come short of the glory of God. In the middle of that, the Bible said he came to himself. He said, I'm going back to my father's house. Even the servants are eating better. How might he eating with pigs? And incidentally, when you're watching pornography on the internet, you're eating with pigs. It's hog slop. Amen. It does nothing but degrade. There's no nutrition. There's no health in it. It degrades your mind and it degrades your whole self-image. He said, I'm going back to the Father's house. Some of y'all need to come back to God's house. Some of y'all need to come back. Amen. I love you. But that's why you stay away, so that I can't tell you this. So while you're here, I'm telling you, you need to be in church. He said, I'm going back to my father's house. And he went back and he said, Father, I'm unworthy to even be called your son. I've messed up so bad. Look at the father's heart. He didn't even listen to the boy. He told the servants, go get a robe and put it on his back. Now listen, this boy hadn't shaved. He smells like hogs. He got mud all over him. He said, go put a robe and put it on his back. Put shoes on his feet. Put a ring on his finger. Now, in those days, that ring was an emblem. It was almost like a credit card. When you went and bought something, that ring had the emblem of your family, and you just press it in the hot wax, and that was the family signature that we'll buy this. He said, put the ring on his finger. My son that was lost is found. That's God's heart towards us. He wants to help you in your situation. I know we've all made mistakes. We've all fell short of the glory of God. He wants to help you come back to the Father's house. There is adequate power in the resurrection to fix your issues, to fix your problems. You don't have to hide. I look at the young man now. Well, he ain't that young anymore. He's a little younger than I am. In big trouble with the feds, Pete Diddy. He got big problems. And I notice whenever I see that brother, he got on sunglasses. He inside, the light's as bright as that, he got sunglasses on. That's because he's hiding. Because when you got nothing to hide, I can look anybody. I could go, Mr. Biden, I can look him straight in the eye, just like this. Because I ain't hiding nothing. I'm straight. I said, it's well with my soul. I said, it's well with my soul. Hallelujah. And if you'll come back, nurture that relationship with Jesus Christ. See, when you're watching on the internet, if you're watching on YouTube, you're getting almost nothing. Mainly nothing. If you're with a progressive church on the internet who will not mention the blood of Jesus Christ, you're listening to the same demon, the same Lucifer that caused the fall in the garden. If a church will not tell you the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from sin, you are in an evil congregation. It is a synagogue of Satan. You need to get out of that place and find somebody who's still preaching the old rugged cross, who is still preaching the truth of the gospel. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to absolutely undo the works of the devil. When you're born again, Jesus puts you in a better place than Adam, the first Adam, was ever in. As a matter of fact, let me just read it in closing. I've got to find it first. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 is kind of a long passage, but it's worth reading. And I'm just going to begin reading with verse 2. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of the LGBTQ, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. My thing was drugs. Somebody else's thing might be sex. Somebody else's thing might be stealing. But all of us has something going on. I need to hear a louder amen than that. All of us has something going on. Who, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by our very natures the children of wrath, even as others. But God... But God, hallelujah, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he did love us, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And has raised us up, get this, has resurrected us, has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right now, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the power on high. And you and I have the status of being seated with him. The next verse, it's another place in the Bible. It says, far above all principalities and powers and every name that is named. I'm sitting right beside my Lord. He gave me a seat right there. He said to the churches in Revelation, to him that overcome will I give to sit in my throne, even as I'm sitting in my Father's throne. Now, that's kind of deep. It's going over my head, but it sounds like it's what I need. I need to be close to Jesus. I don't understand all about it, but it sounds like I need to be closer to Jesus. This is his heart. Who would have ever asked to sit in Jesus' throne with him as he sit in the Father's throne? You got to be crazy to ask something like that. But yet Jesus offers it without us asking. My, my, my. He says he made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Get this. So that in the ages to come, that means eternity future, as the ages roll out one after another, the trillions of years one after another, so that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us. That's the resurrection. That's what the resurrection purchased for you and I. Hallelujah. Somebody give Jesus a hand clap in here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet, please, all over the room this morning? He is risen. He is risen. Just close your eyes this morning and just thank God for resurrection power. Resurrection power this morning. Lord, you got up from that grave not only for yourself, but God, you did it for me. You died for me. You were buried for me. You were resurrected for me. Lord, you allowed me to be in union with you as you traveled through all of these hardships. You took the hit, Lord, that I might have the prize. Come on, right now, why don't you just begin to thank Jesus for what he's done for you? Just begin to thank him. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Come on, you ought to be thanking God this morning. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Lord, you came and you died a torturous death on the cross that I might live. Lord, you defeated death. You defeated the grave. Oh, God, I give you thanks this morning. I give you thanks. Just give him thanks this morning, won't you? Hallelujah.
And Father God, how grateful we are that it's not about the Easter bunny, the Easter basket, or the clothes that we might have gotten for Easter. But God, it's because that you died on that cross. And because you rose again in 3 days, Father God, that you live. That is why we're here today. And we thank you so much that because you did that for us, God, because you rose again, we can have life and have life more abundantly. And even when we leave this earth, Father God, it's not over with. We will live again. And we're so grateful, Father God, for that. And we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory that you so rightfully deserve. For it is in Jesus' most precious and his holy name that I pray. Amen and amen. And so this morning, if you haven't had a chance to give, we ask that you please remember to do so to help us in building up God's kingdom and spreading the word all over. And Lauren Larson, he's coming here. He'll be here on the 13th and the 14th. And if you've never heard him speak, this is a good opportunity. He is a great speaker. You will leave out of here blessed. And on Wednesday, we will not have any, we won't have Bible study that Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. But we will pick up again on the 10th of April, and we'll be starting our new Bible class. And with that said, you are dismissed. Have a blessed day.